John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21, which is on page 1076 of your Bibles. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gates for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. How are we? I don't know about you. I feel like I've been fed already. That was amazing worship, thank you. I don't know about you, Anchor is doing a great job with the confession, isn't she? Like, I don't know about you, it's one of those parts of the service that used to kind of wash past me. Now it's the bit I look forward to almost the most. I think she said half of my talk in her confession this morning. It was great. I'm just going to pray quickly. Lord, we just invite you here right now. Speak to us, be with us, love us. Lord, let my words be your words. Let the people hear what you want to say. Amen. So there was a shepherd looking after his sheep one day. And he was, you know, in the field, and there's this deserted road coming through his field, and suddenly this Porsche turns up, screeches to a halt. The driver jumps out. He's dressed in a smart suit, Armani suit, designer shoes, looks a bit like Jake, you know, smart. Ray-Ban sunglasses, Tag Heuer watch, you know, all the flashy bits. And he gets out and he says to the shepherd, "If I can tell you how many sheep you've got in your field, will you give me one?" And the shepherd looks at the young man and he says, Okay. So he parks his car. He connects his laptop to his mobile phone. He enters a NASA website. He has some Google map up. He has some geo mapping and infrared device. He opens a database. He has an Excel spreadsheet, flip charts and everything else, pivot tables, logarithms. Big 150-page report comes out of his little mini printer. And he turns to the shepherd and he says, I think you have 1,586 sheep. Rather surprised, the shepherd turns around and says, that's correct. You can have one. So the young man takes his animal, puts it in the back of his Porsche. And just as he's about to leave, the shepherd says, hang on a minute. If I can guess your profession, will you give me my animal back? And so he says, yeah, why not? So he says, you're an IT consultant. And he says, how do you know? He said, very simple. Firstly, you came without being called. Secondly, you charged me to tell me what I already knew. And thirdly, don't know anything about my business. Now, can I have my dog back? We might think looking after sheep is an easy task, a simple task, but it isn't. It's a highly specialized job. It's a job often that was passed from father to son. Israel, the Jewish people, the people that Jesus was talking to, they understood this concept of a shepherd. Maybe it's something that we don't understand so much these days. I asked a little girl last night, I was at a party for a friend of mine who was 40. She's much younger than me. And she's a little daughter that was 4. And I said, what's a shepherd? And she said, someone that grows sheep. And I thought, I like that. But the Israelites understood what a shepherd was. They understood what shepherds did. They also understood what Jesus was alluding to when he talked in these phrases. They had a concept. They had an understanding. They had a framework, if you like, for what it meant. As you look through the Old Testament, there's references again and again to God as a shepherd. You can look in Micah, you can look in Isaiah, you can look at Ezekiel. Obviously, in the Psalms, there's the great Psalm 23. I don't know about you, it's one of my favorite Psalms. I'm just going to read it because I love it. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ezekiel refers to David when he says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. But there's a prophetic statement in this. Because in saying David, he's also talking about the lineage of David. He's talking about, ultimately, Jesus. Isaiah says of God, he feeds his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers the lambs. A lot of the Jewish people would have kept livestock. They would have understood this language. So Jesus was like tapping in. He was tapping into what they knew. He's tapping into something that they understood. However, the Pharisees at the time, the religious people, the church leaders, they would have been deeply offended. Why? Because shepherds were seen as really unclean people. They were like wholly unclean. And to associate God with someone who was unclean was like a juxtaposition. It's like, how can God be unclean? God is perfect, God is pure, God is holy, he's not unclean. And now this idea of uncleanliness is something we don't know much about today, I don't think. But it was an important part of Jewish life. You know, the division between clean and unclean was fundamental. You know, they were commanded by the law to be physically clean, ritually clean, ceremonially clean, you know, having made the right sacrifices and offered the right gifts to God. And when you became unclean, you had to go through a long, elongated process to become clean again. The shepherds were deemed unclean because of their contact with the animals. You know, some of it was incidental. You know, animals die, animals get hurt. But also being out and about, you know, lots of unclean animals were things like spiders and flies and bugs and rats and all those kind of things that the shepherd would come across in his day-to-day work, made them unclean. So Jesus, using this phrase, using this terminology, related to the people, but he was also challenging the religious attitudes of the Pharisees. I love how God, Jesus, kept doing this, didn't he? He kept bypassing and challenging those that thought they knew what was right, and going to those that didn't know or didn't think they were clean or good enough. So, who do you think God is? What is your perception of God the Father? What's he like? What's his character like? Just have a think on that. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Where have you got that concept from? It might be a right concept. It might be a concept that you've picked up from another place. I love that the passage where it says, God looks at the heart, not the outward appearances. He sees us for who we really are. Just going back to the shepherds. I love that story when Jesus was born, the story of the shepherds. You know, they were the first people to know that Jesus was born, apart from Mary, obviously. But they were seen as the unclean. They were the outcasts. They were those on the edge of society. But they were the first to know. They were the first people that God pronounced what happened to. And it wasn't just like, you know, by the way, my son's come, the Saviour's here. A massive angelic host. I was thinking about it this week. I was thinking, that must have been absolutely mind-blowing, mustn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but my concept of an angel is like this massive, huge, white, glowing, enormous, scary thing. I just can't even think what a host, like a whole sky filled with angels would have been like. But these shepherds, these men were unclean. But there's no mention of them stopping to become clean, to do the right rituals, to do the right sacrifices before they met Jesus. They went from the fields to the manger. And I think that's significant. It's significant for us. And it's significant for those that don't know Jesus. It's that invitation. Come as you are. You don't need to do anything to come and meet Jesus, to come and meet God. You just need to come. So Jesus declares in this passage, he says, I am the good shepherd. And he's announcing who he is. He's announcing that he's the Son of God. And he's using this terminology, good and shepherd, to relate back to what they understood in the Old Testament. You know, he is part of the Godhead. We understand that now, maybe. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I'm reminded again, as I look at this passage, that to know who God is, if I want to know who God is, if I want to really know who he is, then who's best to look at? Who's best to ask? Who's best to listen to? Jesus. Right? Jesus had a better view, had a better understanding, had a clearer picture, had a better relationship than I have, than the prophets had, than the Pharisees had. So when we look back, when we look through the Bible, what Jesus says about who God is, I think is probably the best reference point we've got. And I love that Jesus goes on to say, I only see what my Father doing, and I only say what my Father tells me. He says it like this, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because the Father does. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I love that intimate relationship between the Father and the Son. And that relationship gives us that understanding of who God is. You know, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He takes on that mantle of being God. But Jesus also said this. He said, when a man came up to him and fell on his knees, he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. But then Jesus says he's the good shepherd. So in one hand, he's questioning this young man for another purpose. But on another hand, he then quite clearly states he is good and states his relationship to the Father. You know, Jesus references his relationship to the Father in this passage. And then he uses the same phrase, you know, he says, as the Father says to the Son, I say to the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So just as Jesus knows God, we can know Jesus in exactly the same way. I look at this relationship that Jesus has with the Father and I go, wow, I want some of that. And that's available to us. Just in the same, Jesus says, in exactly the same way as I have relationship to the Father, you can have relationship with me. I love that. I love that I can be known and loved and accepted. I love that I'm adopted into God's family. I've been given royal rights and privileges. I've been forgiven. I've been made clean. I've been restored. I've been renewed. I've been empowered to be the person God's called me to be. And I've been ordained to do the things he's called me to do. From the beginning to the end, from the mess I was at the beginning to Christ-likeness when I get to be with him in heaven. It's all accessible through Jesus. Transformation is there for us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. A couple of things to pull out from the passage quickly. I don't know about you. I'm not sure I really like being called a sheep. You know, sheep are generally regarded as one of the most stupid animals, I think, out there. I had the privilege when I was at university of being in a small church run by a fabulous woman I'll tell you a bit more about in a minute. And there were a number of guys who were farmers, and one of which was a shepherd. And he would constantly say how stupid sheep were. So, you know, I'm a little bit like, not really sure. I quite like this this analogy of how stupid I am. It's probably true, but I'm not sure I liked it very much. It's not very flattering, is it? But we do have some similarities to sheep. Secondly, Jesus' love and concern for us is similar to that of the shepherd for his sheep. And thirdly, because I think the church should be like the sheepfold that we talk about in this passage, we're going to have a little look at that as well. When you look around the world today, it's very easy to see some characteristics that are like sheep. And I know I am like this too. Sheep follow the crowd and they don't think of the consequences. There was a match a little while ago, if you're a football fan, between Inter Milan and AC Milan. Two big football rivalries in Italy. Inter Milan were winning. They had a penalty shout. The ref said no. Some of the fans got really angry. So they started letting flares off onto the pitch, right? And, you know, a couple let them off and the crowd got a bit more agitated and some more got let off. And, you know, soon the whole pitch was covered in flares and smoke and the game was abandoned. And it was like, hang on a minute, we were winning this game. And now the game's abandoned and we've lost all the points. Sometimes I think, you know, in following the crowd, we don't see the consequences of our actions. Apparently sheep can be quite stubborn. My wife wouldn't know anything about that at all, would you, darling? No. And if you've got children, you won't understand this concept either. I don't think I need to say too much more about that. But also, when a sheep trusts someone, it follows him or her without thinking. A couple of years ago, I started running again, encouraged by Trevor to get back and get fit. And I entered a half marathon just in Richmond. And I entered with some friends. They were all much quicker than me, not surprisingly. And off they went, and I was following behind. And I got to this point, and there seemed to be some confusion. And obviously everyone was just following the way they were being told to go. And so I followed around, finished the race, last of my four friends, and picked up my medal, exhausted, in pain. And my friends were like, which way did you go? Which way did you go? And I went, well, I just followed the route into Richmond and back out again. And they were like, you didn't just go straight along the river? And I was like, no, I didn't just go straight along the river. I followed the route. And apparently, someone had sent the first half of the race the wrong way. So about 1,000 people had got the wrong times, hadn't done a half marathon, and were a bit upset. But it's very easy, isn't it? When the way is pointed out, we follow, even if that's not the right way. Sadly, sometimes when we follow something that isn't right, it can lead to quite horrible consequences. Back in the 70s, there was a guy called Jim Jones who was led a cult, and sadly he took his life and his followers took all their lives as well. It's important who we follow. And it's important that we find the good shepherd who will care for us and not exploit us. So what are the characteristics of the shepherd we can see in Jesus? There are some wonderful characteristics that first century Jewish shepherds had. The good shepherd knows how to care for his sheep and to care for their individual needs. I love that parable of the lost sheep. She spoke about it so well earlier, didn't she? Leave the 99, go after that one. You know, these days, you might go, it's only one sheep, it's only a slight economic loss. That's, you know, within my margin of error. I can budget for that and crack on. I've got 99, not an issue. No, that isn't the God that we know. That isn't the God that we have. He leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. And he doesn't come back till he's found it. And when he comes back, he's rejoicing. Shepherds protect their sheep. David was a shepherd before he became a king, as we know. And it was as a shepherd that he killed Goliath. He says this to King Saul in Samuel. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned to me, I seized it by the hair. I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. The good shepherd protects his sheep. The shepherd wants what's best for his sheep. Jesus said this, I came that you may have life and have it in abundance. That's in verse 10. God wants our very best. He wants us to have rich and full lives. And he wants us to spend eternity with him. You know, and that doesn't start when we die. That starts now. Eternity starts now. The moment we choose to follow him, the moment we enter into relationship with him, eternity has begun. You know, Easter reminds us that Christ, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. A good shepherd sacrifices himself for his sheep. Going back to Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. I didn't know that sheep only drink water. That is still, they won't drink from a running stream, apparently. But it's when we come to that quiet place with God that he will restore our souls. You know, we see that with Jesus, don't we? We see Jesus pulling away from the crowds, even from his disciples, to spend time alone with God. It's easy, isn't it, to get distracted. It's easy to let the other voices in our head come and take over. But that still, quiet voice of God, it takes time, doesn't it, to learn to listen to learn to respond to. When I was a student at university, I was lucky to be in this small church, and a woman called Anne Watson used to run it. She was a widower, and she'd previously been married to a guy called David Watson, who in the 80s was a very prominent Church of England vicar and evangelical preacher. And she was a wonderful woman. And one of the main things I learned while I was with her was how to listen to God. And week after week, we'd sit in a home group, and she'd say, what's God spoken to you this week? What's God said to you this week? What's he said from the Bible? When you've been reading your Bible, what's he pulled out? What's he highlighted? What's the Spirit brought to your attention this week? And again she'd do this. And again we'd fumble around and make mistakes and get it wrong. But it was the practice of just practicing, stopping and listening and being aware of what the Spirit was saying that was so powerful. And it's interesting that Jesus still does this as well. Jesus doesn't just bounce around and God's speaking to him and it's easy. He has to take himself away. He has to quiet himself. He has to seek the Father. The sheep pen. I don't know about you. I don't know much about Jewish shepherding particularly. But apparently, the sheep pen was like an open shelter. It was like a fenced-off area. It might have had high walls or high fences to protect the sheep. but it didn't have a roof and it usually didn't have a door. Often the shepherd would lay across the entrance of the door and act as the doorway, would sleep in the doorway. So when Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheepfold," the people knew what he was talking about. They understood that concept. They understood that imagery. So when he said, "I am the door to the sheep pen, and you are the sheep, no one comes unless they come through me," he meant that he was physically there. He was the one that was letting them in and guarding the entrance. There is safety in the sheep pen. Now, this church, for us, for me and Emma, has been that sheep pen. We led a church, we helped plant a church and led a church for about 5 years in London. And when we started that church, the friend we were doing it with said to us, "You know, what are you going to do with the kids?" Because church was on a Wednesday night in the middle of town and it wasn't appropriate to take the kids into a pub to do church. So we said, "I don't know, I'm not sure what we're going to do." And he said, "Go and see Trevor and Kate." And we did. And Trevor and Kate came to us and they said, "What can we do? How can we love you? How can we serve you? Don't do anything. Don't give anything. Let us bless you. Let us look after you while you go and do this." And they did that for 5 years. You know, we came. This was our safe place. This was a place where we could be encouraged, be refreshed, be looked after. And that's what it should be. And that's what we can be. And that's what we often are. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The only way is through him. We can't burgle our way in. We can't talk our way in. We can't pay our way in. We can't earn our way in. It's only through him, through his sacrifice, that we get to enter into the pen, into God's kingdom, into God's fullness. And Jesus brings us freedom. He brings us that fullness of life. I love the fact that the sheep are free to come and go into the pasture. You know, they have free choice. Yes, they need leading at times. And yes, when they hear his voice, they respond and they follow him. But when he's not calling or he's not speaking, they have the freedom of the pasture to go where they please. And I think sometimes, for me, it's very easy to think, I must hear God on this specific thing or this specific thing. And I think sometimes God says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And that's his command. And it's like, go. If you follow those things, whatever you're doing, whatever the passions God's put on your heart, whatever the areas of life, the jobs you're in, you know, the friends you have, the hobbies you do, you can take that with you and you can apply that. The voice of God is a wonderful thing. For some of us, you know, when the shepherd calls, that's a familiar voice to us because we've practiced it. For some, it might be a new thing. For some, you might feel like you've never heard it before. You might be here today thinking, there's something in me that's responding to this. Is this God calling me? I would encourage you and say, yes, it is. And if you want to respond to that when we pray later, please come up and speak to Alwyn or one of the other guys, and they'd love to pray for you. The point is this: God is calling us. He is speaking to us. He is leading us. He is good, and he does love us. And he is the gateway to that full and abundant life. I don't know about you, there's been plenty of times in my life when I felt like that lost sheep. I felt like that sheep that's got stuck in the ditch, broken its leg, head stuck between the bars, you know, going for the green grass that I shouldn't be going for. I think God's saying, don't worry. The good shepherd is out there. He's looking for you, and he will find you. And when he brings you back, he's going to bring you back with rejoicing. And if that's you today, that's fine. Come as you are. You don't need to do anything except come to him. Respond to his voice. To the rest of us, my challenge is this. Where is God leading you? Where is God leading us as a community, as a church? What's he asking of us? Are we listening? Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to respond when he does speak? I know a lot of you. Some of you better than others. And I know a lot of you, that's what life's about. That's what it's about. You want to hear the voice of God. And I just want to encourage you that he's talking, he's speaking, and he's calling out to you. Are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to trust that in following him, we will have that full and abundant life? The life we've always wanted, the life we dream about, but sometimes don't even dare to speak of. One which is fulfilled, full of love, and full of Jesus.